and talk about being ambassadors for Christ. And the text for this lesson for the next few minutes will be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Really the whole chapter of 5, but it comes from verse 20. Says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." So ambassadors is what we're talking about, and that's such a cool word, ambassadors. It's such a cool word that if I were to be at a Christian university and start a all a cappella singing group, I would entitle it The Ambassadors, because that's such a cool word. That's what they call it, Freed, in case you didn't know. But what ambassador is it's almost like it's a representative of a larger body, but it's more than that. It's more almost of an extension. Think about Inspector Gadget. Raise your hand if you have any idea who Inspector Gadget is. Yes. All right, that's like 80% of you. For those of you who do not know, let me catch you up to speed. Inspector Gadget is a cartoon. I think like in the 90s they made a movie about it, maybe early 2000s. That was live action, had Matthew Broderick as Inspector Gadget. But he's a guy, he's kind of goofy, but he's a good guy, superhero, and he's really a cyborg sort of thing. So his body's got all these gadgets. He's got a hat that has like helicopter propellers and handlebars to come out so he can fly around like this. And he's got these go-go gadget arms. And so he just says, go-go gadget, and whatever he needs. And so go-go gadget car, whatever it is. He says, go-go gadget arms, and it extends, and it just goes and goes and goes as far as he needs. So that's what we're talking about here. So let's say you sneeze, and you have a lot of mucus that comes out, and you're really embarrassed because you don't want to get up in the middle of this assembly, but you don't want your friends to look at you and be grossed out. And you can't just wipe it off with your hand, because that's also gross. But the bathroom is way back there. And so you say, I got it. I use my go-go gadget arm. And so you say, go-go gadget arm, go get me a tissue out of the bathroom. And you send it out through the door to the bathroom to get you a tissue. And when that hand goes out, that hand becomes an ambassador for your body. You have sent it on a mission. And the same principle applies to Christianity. Jesus Christ is our head, and He has sent us out with a purpose. That purpose is to accurately, I keep looking over here like there's people to talk to over here, there's not. That purpose is to accurately and effectively deliver the message of reconciliation. In other words, we're supposed to tell all the people that Jesus died for our sins. So I'm talking about three things that a good ambassador does, a good go-go gadget hand, three things that we should do. One is a good ambassador is removed from his home, by definition. A good ambassador is removed from his home. My go-go gadget arm is not going to do any good to me if it stays right here with me. If it doesn't leave and go in the other room to get that tissue, then it's useless to me right now. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, Paul says, "Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him." Well, of course, we would rather be with God. We would rather go ahead and be in heaven, right? But God needs us to be here in this world. He needs us to be ambassadors for Him here in this world. That was quick. That was the first one. The second one, a good ambassador, a good go-go gadget hand, is influenced only by his or her head. That's what I'm talking about. Your hand, without fail, and as much as coordination will allow, will obey your brain. Right? It will obey your brain, and it is your brain's job to take care of that hand in sort of a symbiotic relationship. So, can I get a volunteer come up here? All right, I think you were first. Go ahead. Thank you. All right. So, I need you to stick your hand out like you want to shake my hand. All right. Now, does your brain really want my hand to shake your hand?
I don't care.
No, it doesn't work if you don't care. Your brain has to really want my hand to shake your hand. Like, think with all your might. Concentrate. Do you want my hand to shake your hand?
Yes.
Yes. It won't do it unless my brain says, hey, shake Vivian's hand. It doesn't matter how much her brain wants my hand to do it. It won't do it unless my brain says, all right, you can shake her hand. Thank you. You can go sit down. It's the same way with being an ambassador is we're only influenced by our own head. Our brain is Jesus Christ. The world is a different brain. So if we're going to be good ambassadors for Christ, we cannot be influenced by the world. We can't be influenced by the devil. We can't be influenced by anything else besides God, besides Jesus, right? That's what a good ambassador does. So if my hand is out there trying to find tissue, and then somebody else's brain tells it to stop it, it's not going to do me any good. Does that make sense? And of course, it's the brain's job to take care of that hand. All right? So if my brain says, there's a nail sticking out here, hand, slap that nail. My hand is going to do it. My hand doesn't have the ability to think for itself, that seems like it'll hurt. I don't want to do that. My brain can do that. So my brain is the one that should say, maybe we should trim your nails so you don't hurt yourself. Maybe you should wear gloves before you pick up that splintered wood. It's up to the head to take care of the hands. And that's what Jesus has proven over and over again that he has done and will continue to do. We can count on Jesus to do that for us so we don't have to worry about it. It's not our job to think about whether obeying Jesus is the right thing to do or not, because we know 100% completely confident it is the right thing to do. And we'll let him worry about that. We just worry about doing what he says. Let's read verse 13 and 15. Well, we'll read 14 too while we're reading those two verses. 13 through 15. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So what's that saying? And at the very beginning, verse 13, he says, what he's saying is if we look stupid to you, if we look foolish, like we're crazy, then it's because we're not worried about you and what you think. We're not worried about what you want us to do or how you want us to behave. We're worried about what Jesus wants us to behave like, right? And that's what he's saying. And because we belong to him now, we belong. We have died to ourselves and we are his. The third thing that a good ambassador should do, and this really, it overlaps with the second thing, but the third thing is that we ought to perform the task that is asked of us. All right, so first we got to be removed from our home. We got to get out of here. We can't be in heaven and save the world, right? As much as we want to be in heaven, we got to be in the world at least for now. Heaven comes later. Two, we have to be only influenced by Jesus. And three, we have to perform the task that he asked us to do. So, sitting there, you sneeze, you got runny nose, and just mucus everywhere. And so you say, all right, I send my go-go gadget hand out. It goes all the way to the back of the auditorium. It goes through the door. There's a door already open for it. And it goes into the bathroom. And it goes in and puts the hand up and declares, I, in the hand of Jared Gaines, I've come here to this room of baths to retrieve a tissue for my master's runny nose. Proudly proclaim who I am, what I'm doing, and then I go and I turn on the sink faucet and then leave, the hand does. Did he do what I needed him to do? I still got that runny nose. I still got mucus everywhere, right? And not a good ambassador. So we got to perform that task. Let's read verse 20 and 21. It says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." And in verse 21, he does what he says he's fixing to do. He says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Paul performed the task. We can too. So this is what the task is, as laid out by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is that we have to declare the gospel accurately and effectively. Accurately and effectively. So let's look at those two things. Accurately is we got to tell the truth about it. We can't mislead anyone. If we're going to be ambassadors for Christ, proclaiming this message of reconciliation, then we got to tell the truth about it. That means if there comes up something that is our opinion or we don't know, then you just say, "This is my opinion," or "I don't know." If you can find out, find out. But don't just make something up. And this is not one of those things, you know how people say that if you just sound confident, people will believe you. This is not one of those things where you should do that. This isn't one of those things where you skip class and you're going through school and you just act like you're supposed to be there and you won't get in trouble. You act like you're not doing anything wrong. This is not that kind of thing. We're supposed to be accurate. We can't act our way out of this. We can't confident our way out of this. That's right, I just made confident a verb. We can't confident our way out of this situation. God has given us a message. He's given us the Bible, and we have to relay that message with complete accuracy. We've got to do it effectively. And this one's real easy. Real easy. In order to preach or teach or whatever accurately, I mean effectively, you got to live it. Just live what you're preaching. Live what the Bible tells you to do. And your message will be effective. Your words will be effective. People will believe you because they know that you believe those words as well. Let's say that you want to, let's say you want $1 million. Anybody want $1 million? Is that like a reasonable thing for somebody to want? Just Matt's? All right. So me, Matt, and Tyler, we'd like to have $1 million. And let's say Josh has $1 million, or he wants it as well, and he says he knows how to get it. So he says, "All right, listen, you three guys, listen to me. If you want $1 million, all you have to do is invest in Dollar General. Just invest in Dollar General, and in 6 months' time, you will be a millionaire." And then we say, "Okay, that sounds good." But Josh goes, and he sells his stock in Dollar General, and he buys something else. Well, then how are we going to believe him? Because he's not even living it out himself, right? Does that make sense? That was sort of a dumb illustration, but does that make sense? People are only going to believe you if you believe it yourself. That's really the best way to say it. All right. And talk about courage. And, you know, a lot of times it's scary to do this. It sounds good. It sounds simple. But it's harder than just going to get a tissue for somebody. You got to put yourself out there. You got to be vulnerable. And it takes a little bit of courage. But what I say to you today is that it shouldn't. It shouldn't. We should get to the point. The aim is where it doesn't take courage to teach the gospel. The aim is that it should take courage to become a Christian. And then once you're a Christian, then it's part of your makeup, your DNA, to follow Jesus no matter what. I heard someone say, one of these youth rallies, it may have been here a few years ago or maybe in Valdosta or something, but I don't remember who it was or when it was, but I remember it because it was so good. There was a soldier, and somebody was interviewing him, and interviewing him, and they're talking about, now how is it that you're able to fight with such bravery every single day, knowing that every day your life is on the line, right? And everybody around you, that you're able to just put your own life and your own well-being to the side and just serve and obey your commander without fail, instantly, immediately, and everything like that. What? How come? How are you able to do that? That's superhuman. And his answer was that he was already dead, right? He said that his commanding officer had trained them to think they're already dead. If they're able to survive the fight and go back home, that's great. But as far as they're concerned, in the here and now, they've already lost their families. They've already lost their future. They're already dead. All they have left is to fight this fight. They're soldiers 100% entirely and completely. And this is sort of the same way. Because we just read it, and we'll read it again in verse 14. Paul says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died." So because Jesus died for everybody, that's the message of reconciliation. Jesus died for everybody. Because of that, we are all dead. We're all dead to the brain of the world. We're dead to the influence of the world. We're dead to our worldly selves. So all that is alive left in us is the life of eternity with Jesus Christ. So it does take a lot of courage, but it doesn't take courage to fight the fight like that soldier. It no longer takes courage to go through a landmine field or to face warfare or anything like that. It takes courage to join the fight. So with us, it takes courage to become a Christian. But once we're there, we're ambassadors for Christ. And we're His. And it's a good deal. It's a good deal. Maybe there's some embarrassment. Maybe there's some loneliness, temporary loneliness that you have to feel in being different from the world. You remember Paul said here that to you, we're outside of our minds. We're not in our right selves because we're so crazy for Jesus. But that's the best way. That's the way we have to be in order to get the eternal reward, in order to get that reconciliation that we're preaching about. We have to believe it. And that's it. Be ambassadors for Christ.